it's not anything but happy here because Katie's here. Yay. From over at Oakley Village.
Good morning,
we're glad
Katie.
To see
good
you.
Morning. Good seeing y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are things?
It was good. Very good.
You have a good New Year's?
We did.
Do anything fun?
We had our, you know, our New Year's dinner that we talked about us cooking. So
right.
We had that.
What was on that menu again?
Ours, we don't do pork a whole right. lot. I mean, I like bacon, but everything right. else, I don't eat pork.
Uh-huh.
So we did cube steak.
Okay.
Collard greens.
Uh-huh.
Instead of doing black-eyed peas, we did the bean mix. So there's
okay.
a whole bunch of different, of course, black-eyed peas were in there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Rice.
Uh-huh.
And we did some cornbread.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're, it's like you were at my house.
Yeah.
We also had cornbread and collard greens and black-eyed peas, but we did have pork.
Yeah.
My husband does a really good smoked pork loin that he wraps in bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow, it was good. With a little peach glaze. That's when we were talking about it being National Apricot Day earlier.
Right.
I was like,
right.
is it apricot glaze or peach glaze he
right.
puts on that pork? But I think it's peach.
Whatever it is, sounds pretty good.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Sounds pretty,
yeah.
pretty good.
We ate good on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we did.
No
too.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, Happy New Year. I'm
Thank
glad
you.
To have you
yeah.
back here with us
Thank
in 2024. We appreciate you being back here with us. So today we're going to look at the 11 ways to manage what is called the sundown syndrome.
Yes.
And let's talk first about what is the sundown syndrome
yes.
and what it means to people who are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes. So a lot of folks recently has been talking about this, and so that's kind of why I brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had the support group the other night, and that was one of the things that the families were talking about was no one told them about sundowning, and they didn't understand it. They had heard about it, but didn't really know what it was, and now they're living through it. So that's why this kind of came up. But it's usually seeing changes in a person's behavior during late in the afternoons or early evenings, usually around sundown.
Right.
So between 4 and 5 is when it usually starts. Now, it's a phenomenon. It's also called sundown syndrome, sundowners, or sundowning.
Right.
According to the Alzheimer's Association, about 20% of people with Alzheimer's or dementia experience it, which stinks. There are different things that can trigger sundown emotional behaviors and cognitive changes. It could go anything from mood swings to anxiety, some sadness, restlessness. They can also have an energy surge, which is the ones that tell me, Mom stayed up all night long. So that's the energy surge that they talked about. Increase in confusion, hallucinations, and delusions.
Right.
Which really stink.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you're having any of your loved ones doing this, you know, I got the question of, well, when does that usually start? Well, it can really occur at any state of their dementia, but usually we do find it that it's mid-stage dementia is usually when it begins. It could last for a couple of days. It could last for a couple months. And unfortunately, it can last for a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, it could be basically the norm, becoming your norm.
Yes.
So this is daily behavior.
Could be.
That could happen on the regular.
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it's tough.
Wow.
Well, you know, the thing is about when this is going on is when it first is starting mm-hmm. in a family and they're not understanding and they're not familiar with what this is and they don't understand. Just a couple hours ago, you were this.
You were fine.
And now you're that.
Right.
And so that's the thing that really, I think, messes with families.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people who are dealing with this understand just how common it is
right.
amongst others who
right.
are dealing with the same thing you are. And so I think it's important that you bring up the topic, Katie, because I think it's very important for people to realize you are not alone.
You are not alone.
Yeah.
I said that so much on Thursday night. This one family came in, and they have not dealt with it, so they were very like overwhelmed by it. Just for them to hear that other families in the room was going through it
right.
just made them go, really, that happened to you too?
Yeah.
And the relief on their face that okay, they're not crazy.
Right.
This is going on often, and it's more people than none, which really stinks too. So that was a big kind of conversational piece that we talked about on Thursday. Ways to treat, manage, or reduce. You can't fix it.
Right.
There's no medication. There's no pill. Oh, well, let me give you this for sundowning.
Right.
So that's why we talk about managing it, how we can do a little bit better. Observe and minimize the triggers. So sometimes it could be as simple as a nutritional trigger. You can give them coffee during the day.
Right.
And you probably shouldn't give them coffee during the day because
okay.
they get hyped up.
Okay.
Sugars.
Okay.
You know, you think about, you didn't give your children candy before they went to bed.
Right.
or you didn't give it to them late in the afternoon. They get home from school, you might get a bowl of cereal if you had an extra snack or a Little Debbie cake. Mine was a Little Debbie cake when I got home from school.
Sure. Right.
That was my favorite thing. But that was it until supper time. Then the supper time we ate, shower, went to bed.
Right. You know,
that was just our typical thing. So anything that you can pay attention to that would cause a trigger, especially in the beginning when you first start seeing it, okay, look back on your day and see what it was that was happening at that moment.
Sure.
Was it a conversation? Was it the TV? Was it all the kids coming in the house at one time from school because your mom has to live with you and you're having to take care of mom there with you? Things like that, you don't really pay attention to until it happens, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
That's what that was.
Exactly.
We had the TV too loud.
So if it is like a disruption in a routine, say somebody unexpected was there or something unexpected happened or some conversation unexpected. So, but it's still, if it triggers that sundowning behavior, so then the next day that thing is removed, that trigger is removed, but it happens again anyway.
Right.
I mean, how do you create some list of like, these are the 5, 10, 8, 12, 32 things right. that set this off?
Yeah, it is truly paying attention to what's going on. So if it is that one thing, with all the children came home from school at that time, okay, that was what triggered it that day. You're right. The next day it could be something else that completely triggered it. Things like maintaining routines, keeping the structure of what things are going on that's key. But, and I think I've said this probably every time I come on the show, is keeping a routine like you did with your children. You have to do the same thing with your parent or your loved one or who you're taking care of.
Right.
If you didn't raise children, you were around it enough when you were growing up that you had a routine. Most likely your parent had you going through.
I am in real trouble because I did not put Holly on a routine at all.
Right.
I mean, I was very resistant to it, as a matter of fact. I have an older sister. It's extremely rigid. And part of her rigidity is because my mother had her on such a tight routine.
Right.
And so I like refused to make that happen to Holly because I figured she'd be the first of multiple.
Right.
Well, she's not. She's an only child. But like, I never put her on a routine.
Right.
It was always like, these are the 5 things we have to do before we leave.
Did you do
them in whatever order you want to do them, but then we have to leave.
Right. Did she ever have temper tantrums?
Not too much.
But every once
every now and then, yeah.
And that's kind of what a lot of folks will look at as a temper tantrum from a child.
Right.
It's kind of like sometimes what the sundowning
where the emotions are just out of control.
Out of control, out of whack. They're crying. They're panicking.
And they don't even really know what to do.
Yeah, they're crying for no reason. You're crying because you're tired.
Right.
Well, that could be another thing that's going on with these folks. They could just be exhausted. They've been overstimulated all day long.
That's the key word to me right there, is overstimulated.
Yeah.
I mean, if something takes you out of your comfort zone, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're dealing with sundowners or if you're just one of us.
Yeah.
If something overstimulates you and you get out of that comfort zone, all of a sudden, I mean, you feel like the walls are closing in on you.
Yeah. I had a family tour yesterday. When they came in, they are pretty much home all the time. They watch TV. There's very few things that they engage and do together. So when they come walking in yesterday, immediately I could tell that the potential resident was getting very nervous.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
She starts rubbing her eyebrows and she starts playing with her hair. And then all of a sudden she's pulling on her shirt. You can see the anxiety building up. And after a quick conversation, I realized how far, you know, demented she probably was, and this was way too much for
her. Sure.
So, you know, that was like the quickest tour I could possibly give because I didn't want to overstimulate her any more than what it was, because they were going to have more difficulty when they got home.
Yeah. I love that body language that you mentioned. Let's talk more about that.
Okay.
It is 8:45. Time to get to the Fox Business Report. We've got Katie with us from Oakley Village. Stick around.
Mornings with Kev. Fireside Studio. It's Kevin Cohen.
We're about 9 minutes before 9 o'clock. It's our Positive Points on Aging. This is where we team up with our friends from Oakleaf Village each and every Tuesday from 8:30 to 9, talk about different things that impact our seniors, our caregivers, our care receivers. Mm-hmm. And we're talking today with Miss Katie from over at Oakleaf, and we're talking about the sundown syndrome, sundowning, all of those different things that happen to a lot of folks when we hit the proverbial wall, if you would.
Yeah.
And it's a tough time. It's something that is far more common than what you might realize. It's not just you or your family member. It's going on all over the place. And One of the things that I was going to ask you about, and I know, Casey, you had said you wanted to talk about something when we came back, but I wanted to ask about when you know someone deals with this, do you specifically try to schedule appointments like earlier in the day and things like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you try to get as much done early because you know what's coming later.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing about keeping the routine going of what's going on with your routine, trying to do those appointments early because usually they are happier in the mornings. They're usually bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Not always. Sometimes I've had families call to say, you know, I can't do a 10 o'clock appointment, but I could do, you know, a 1 o'clock. So it's early enough they can get home,
right.
Maybe give them another meal before bed, maybe nothing heavy, but something like that. So I've noticed that a lot of, even like my tours and stuff, and when we have them, they're usually between 11 and 2. That's usually the best time for folks to tour because they have another caregiver that's watching over them, knowing that that's going to be a time where they're still behaving enough where they won't, you know, the caregiver won't quit.
Sure.
Things like that. So, yes, that definitely makes a big difference. Doing that in the mornings, for sure.
Yeah, before we went to break, we were talking about recognizing mm-hmm. your loved ones, maybe their tells.
Yes.
Right? So these things like body language or language in general, things that they might say or do. I thought it was interesting you said the thing about the gal that was kind of pulling on her clothes a little bit, maybe touching her eyebrows. Like, what are some of those tells or some of those body language nervous things that will cue us into that we're watching a downward spiral begin?
Yeah. That body language is amazing. In making eye contact with them, like you were talking about, when you talk to your child, you would get down to their level. Mm-hmm. I do that with all of our dementia folks, and you do that, and it's to me, it's a respect thing as well, because you're trying to make sure that you're understanding, you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
You always try to involve them in the conversations. Don't talk to them like they're not in the room.
Right,
they're in the room. They might not understand in 10 minutes that you just had a conversation about it.
Right,
but the behaviors could be anything from the agitation, irritation. They could start crying. I've had them where they started just bawling, crying because they just got so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They get scared. They start, you know, looking around the room like somebody's following them. They do a whole thing where they're reaching. If they have a loved one with them doing something and they don't see them in the room, then they start searching for them. And then that's a whole nother panic that they're having,
right.
Which is, that can be really scary for them as well.
Yeah.
So anything like that, you'll be able to tell. It's that nervous feeling. I mean, you know, you get nervous when you get, I get nervous coming to the radio show. I do it every time. My hands start sweating. That's my anxiety kicking in.
Right.
So everybody's anxiety is different, but if you're taking care of your loved one, you'll see what it is specifically. This lady yesterday with the whole eyebrow thing, I was scared to death that she was going to start pulling her hair out because then she started twirling her hair and then she's pulling harder. And then she was adjusting her clothes and then she was reaching behind her for her loved one
because
she didn't know where he was. And he was right behind her pushing her in the wheelchair.
Are there more things that we can do in terms of like coping mechanisms? Like I've heard that, or actually I saw this when mom was in assisted living. And I saw on the other side, because they had the memory care on one side, and then mom's just regular assisted living on the other. But a lot of times there'd be some interactive things. And you would see on the memory care side, some of the dementia patients, they would actually give them like baby dolls and things like that. And just things, stuffed animals, baby dolls. Yeah. Are there other, like, are those coping mechanisms?
Those are great coping mechanisms. And then you have things like soft music, calming, soothing music. I have a facility that I've visited in the past. They use essential oils, and they will put the little diffuser in the room, and it's a calming room. They have the light setting a certain way. So if you're at home taking care of your loved one, that's a good key point, too, is making sure that they're in a dark room at nighttime so they'll know it's time for bed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But during the day, keep it lit. Keep it well lit. So that way there's no shadows on the floor, things like that. Because if you think about it, you're walking them down the hallway to go to the bathroom and they see a shadow across the floor, someone will completely dead stop and just look.
Right.
They're not going past that thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't know if that's a black hole.
Right.
They don't understand it's a shadow.
Just don't want to trigger.
Try to avoid those things. So keep in a dark room at night. Whether you get the blackout curtains, you know, have a nightlight close to the bathroom so they can see the bathroom if they're still able to get up and go to the bathroom on their own. Those are big things.
Yeah.
Big things. And the essential oil is funny because, you know, some people will do it. Some people won't do it. But why not try it?
Yeah.
If it works for you, great. If it don't work, then you try something else.
Right.
I'm allergic to some of those.
Yeah.
They'll get me sneezing.
Yeah.
and that's the thing is you've got to find someone's comfort zone. You can't just assume that it's going to work. One size does not fit all when it comes to, you know, what might actually be soothing to some people might actually be a trigger to someone else.
That's right.
And so, you know your audience also a little bit. And I'm not saying over like at Oakleaf where other people are coming in mass, but if it's one specific person that you're dealing with and trying to help, and you know, hey, every day around 2:30, 3:30, whatever it is, this starts to happen.
Right.
You just want to find whatever puts this person in his or her most comfortable situation.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's going to not happen still, but minimize whatever you can minimize.
Yeah.
Well, and you might not be that used to paying that close attention to your parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of, there's, you know, a whole conversation around like how much attention you pay to your parents may indicate how much trauma they caused for you. Like if you're somebody that pays a lot of attention to whether or not they feel nervous or feel anxious, it may be because in the past when they felt nervous or anxious, it caused, you know, a lot of problems for your family. Right. So it may be that as you're getting older, like you just have either not had to watch them that carefully, and now it's creating that habit of paying attention. What do they look like when they're dressed?
Right.
How do they what is their posture like? You know, and not waiting for them to say out loud, I'm feeling anxious, right?
But they'll tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now the communication's not going to be there. It's gonna, you're gonna have to be able to read body language or just take the cues, because you're not going to get it from, they're not going to be able to verbalize it.
Right.
Yeah. Casey will like this, decluttering. I say that just in the area that if your loved one is at home, they're in the area that they're in pretty much all the time. They may have a living room space or a study that you've turned into like a sitting room for them or something.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's decluttered, not because of tripping hazards, but that's a great key point too.
It's another day,
but it's sometimes too much is overwhelming.
Right.
I mean, some of those, you know, it could be something like that.
All of these things are things that if you need more information, you can call Katie and Karen over at Oakleaf Village.
Mm-hmm.
Best way for them to find you
is 803-808-3477, or they can go online to oakleafvillagelexington.com.
Difficult topic, but you brought it beautifully. Thank you for that.
Appreciate thank you, Katie.
It.
Thank you.
Be safe out there, everyone, today. We'll keep you up to date on the weather and make sure everyone's safe. We'll see everybody this afternoon. Joe Wilson in studio for us this afternoon on The Point.
Mornings with